One note about our services I just failed to mention in all these Wednesday nights is that we are recording this. It's not live streamed, but the audio recordings are on our website. So a couple thoughts with that. If you're like, wow, I need extra practice with that Psalm 141, you can just hit the button. And so it's just a tool that you can use. Everyone sounds wonderful tonight. That's not a critique or anything. It's just, if you do want to like sing along, that's an easy way to access it on the website. Amen, Jim Holroyd. Where's Jim? Is that true? Yes, thumbs up. Yep, so it's online. Our goal for the end of Lent this year, heading into Easter, is to feel a little more free, less worried, less hectic, less frenzied, less weighted down by life. And so that's our goal. And we're working through these simple practices in Christianity that are powerful. They're old. We kind of lose what they mean when we kind of just forget about them. And we're basing the teachings off of the acronym SCARS. S stands for, do you remember? Sin. So it's good to admit we're sinners. That's the path to freedom. Admitting that we're not sinners is not a path to freedom. C stands for, do you remember that one? Confession. And tonight is A, absolution. Absolution. And this is perhaps the center of it all. Absolution. Hearing a word that absolves, that forgives us of our sin. Gary Chapman wrote a book a number of years ago. I think probably most of us have read that book. How many of you have read The Five Love Languages? About half the congregation? I'm surprised. Great book. Wonderful book. It says the premise of the book, just to get everyone on the same page, I've referenced it before. The preference of the idea of the book is that people have their own individual preferences for how they receive love. And each person is different. One is words of affirmation. So be thinking of which one you are. Words of affirmation. When someone gives words of appreciation, man, our hearts just pitter-patter. Second one is, and I'm probably going to mess these up, but the second one, I believe, is quality time. When someone carves out intentional time to connect, and that's hard these days. And when you do that, that's a big thing, actually. Quality time. Third is acts of service. Boy, honey, you vacuumed the car. That's amazing. That's a big I love you statement for some people. Acts of service. Fourth, physical touch. I hit a button, I think. Physical touch is another one. The hug. Some people, a hug just, that's great. And that's wonderful. And the fifth one is gifts. You got me flowers? That sort of thing. By the way, if you read the book, Gary Chapman says this is the source of a lot of conflict in marriage. It's not that people don't like each other, it's just they're speaking different languages and speaking past each other, that sort of thing. In 2010, Gary Chapman did an online assessment. I'd encourage anyone to look it up. You can Google the five love languages to find out which one you are. And after 5 years of research, which one do you think is the most common of the five?
Praise.
Which one?
Praise.
Praise. Words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. By the way, my love language is words of affirmation. Alicia's figured that out, right? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Words of affirmation. But I disagree with Gary Chapman. Because this is serious. I think there's a sixth love language. Food. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Super important. Well, you know, depending on, as we think about words of affirmation, they say that depending on our age and phase in life, that certain words of affirmation speak to us more boldly than others. They say for seasoned veterans, we call them, seasoned veterans, words that speak to contribution and usefulness are like pitter-patter words of affirmation. For middle age, like around my age, I think, they say, I Googled this to see, they say that the words that really speak to someone's heart are words of that encourage that the person is resilient, that they can take on hard things and overcome. One of my favorite Christian authors out there in the last decade, kind of a new guy, and I read a number of his books, John Eldridge. He's a psychologist, and he writes books for men. Now, some of you are thinking, men and books? Like, how's that possible? John Eldridge, he does it. And one of his books is a little book. It's called You Have What It Takes, What Every Father Needs to Know. Small book. The book is about how what the words a father shares with his children are of the utmost importance. And so as a father, I'm thinking about what John Eldridge writes. And he says, this is what he says, these phrases are critical for a father to share to a son or a daughter. He writes, John Eldridge, that every father needs to share with their sons this phrase, you have what it takes. In other words, I believe in you. Eldridge writes that every father also needs to say to their daughters, you are lovely. And he says, the more often you say those phrases, repeatedly, daily, weekly, that's how the child has a strong foundation and actually becomes those people that God wants them to be. I think we all this evening can attest to the importance of words. Encouraging words put us over the top and we accomplish our dreams. Discouraging words, ever heard those before? They kill us. And we're not able to accomplish that much or accomplish our dreams. Tonight, as we think, I want you to think, this is the preface for getting into the words of absolution. I want us to think about the words of absolution, not as some fancy term in the liturgy. I like to be kind of down to earth with the liturgy. I think Lutherans understand absolution as the words that God wants to speak over you over and over and over again, so that you can become the people that God wants you to be. And the words are these, I forgive you, week after week. You know, as a pastor, it probably doesn't surprise you that much that I get phone calls from people in which they want me to speak those words over someone at their deathbed. That happened yesterday. At church. Got the phone call here at church. Off to the hospital I went. But I want to speak to another moment because that's a tender one that I'm working on right now. But I want to speak a couple months ago when I got another phone call from a relative of someone who their relative was on their deathbed. They lived in Newport. And they said, Pastor, I don't know you, but we don't have anyone that can be with our relative who's dying in the ICU. At Good Samaritan, can you go and share a special message with our relative? So I gathered my Bible, got into the car, went up to Good Samaritan, and I want you to know when I enter into those moments, it's very intentional. I pause, I pray, and I have a vision of a target of what I want to share with the person. It's not just gut reaction. And I pray and I pause. I imagine as I was going to the hospital, this was in the summer, last summer. And as I was entering the hospital, I thought that the room would be empty. And that that was the vision that I had, that I could speak to him in this moment and it'd be quiet. And as I entered into his room, he had oxygen on and clearly in trouble. But the surprise was that there was someone also in that room with him. I wasn't expecting that because the relatives said we're spread out, we're living in different parts of the country, we need someone to go up. And so I was surprised, I introduced myself, I'm Pastor Lucky, I was told to come and see this person. How do you know him? What's your relation to him? Clearly they were there in a close associate of some kind. And the person said, some of you heard me share this story before, the person said, I am his bartender. He would come nightly to our bar and I would serve him. And then she said, very specifically, he needs to hear words of forgiveness from you. So there I was, talked about sin and that Jesus takes away the sin of the world. And he nodded, couldn't really vocalize it. And I expressed the words, I forgive you. I actually don't know, I'm pretty sure he didn't make it out of the hospital, but it's a testament. By the way, that just happened yesterday too. It's a testament that people need to hear those words, I forgive you, over and over and over again. How do we know that God says these words to us? I really want to share that very clearly tonight, that God does say them to us. We have been talking about Peter, the guy that messed up so badly. Remember, his mouth was in the shape of his foot. He had goofed up so much. He denied Jesus 3 times. Last week, we talked about how he confessed. He jumped into the water with his coat on, kind of a silly moment in the Gospels. And he came out of the water, and he didn't confess that he had messed up, but remember, his heart was filled with sorrow, and Jesus forgave him. Jesus connected with him. Here's the thing. Jesus never says directly to Peter, I forgive you. You're not going to find it in the Bible. However, there is one. How do we know that we're forgiven? Colossians is nice, but again, this is a general letter. How do we know that God actually says vocally that I forgive you? Actually, think about the Gospels and what Jesus says on the cross. Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus says this. Jesus says, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who's the them? Who's the they? Oh, you guys, you should write the sermon. Man, come on. Here's the thing. They and them pronouns, in the Greek, I looked it up. We don't know. It's a collective gender here, so could be women, could be men. It's plural. We do know that. Very specific. That's what God's word says. We got to stick to that. But who is it? Who's they and who's them? Was it the people that had perpetrated the trial and put him up on the cross? Yes. But like you said, it's bigger than that. Was it Peter, the guy that had messed up? Jesus had never said, I forgive you. But the Gospels tell us that Peter was at a distance from the cross and probably did hear these words. He did need to hear them. But it's bigger than that. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's you. That's me. See, on the cross, think of what Jesus said on the cross as the ultimate once-for-all word of absolution for all time to us. That's awesome. But as I close out, you have the power to speak words of absolution. Does the pastor do that, or is that people? In the Lutheran Church, we have this thing. It's actually for all Christians. We say Lutherans, but the doctrines of the Lutheran Church are actually so awesome that they really speak to a Christianity in general. There is this teaching called the Office of the Keys. The Office of the Keys. And what it's based on is that when Jesus was seeing his disciples, he said this. This is in John chapter 19. Jesus said, whatever sins you loose on earth are loosed in heaven. In other words, whatever sins you forgive, they're forgiven up in heaven. And then he said, whatever sins you bind on earth, in other words, that you don't forgive, they will be bound on in heaven. And Jesus handed over the keys to his followers. Now here's the thought. There are some people that say Jesus handed the keys over to only special people, like people that wear collars, and perhaps apostles and people with fancy titles, that sort of thing. But some believe that he handed the keys over to the church and everyone. That's our teaching at Peace. You can share words of absolution. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive, as we absolve others. That's awesome. It's not because of how perfect you are. I have my job not because I'm perfect. It's because, simply because Jesus' power and his standing is behind us. That's why the pastor says, in the stead and by the command of Jesus. It's not the pastor's power. It's Jesus hands the keys to me, and he hands the keys to you. And when we share those words, oh, time and time again, I forgive you. I forgive you. You see, people then become what God wanted them to be. Free, less worried, less hectic. What a beautiful gift absolution is. Amen.